Well, good morning. How are we doing today? Really? So, how are we doing today? There you go. I mean, we just sang a song that like speaks to me, like, oh, praise the one who paid my debt, who raised this life up from the dead. I don't know how you can't help but get jacked on Jesus with that. So, let's just get jacked on Jesus. Let's have freedom. There's freedom wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, and I feel the Spirit in this place. And so, with that said, let's get to the sermon. Did y'all see little Colton up here? He said, let's get this party started. I was like, ooh, get it, son. Like, so let's get this party started. As you may know, I'm not Jeff. I'm Jordan Payne. For those who don't know, I'm the student life pastor, college and youth. My sermon's actually based off of a story, or off of what we're kind of doing in college group. But before we do that, we're going to get into the Word a little bit. So if you can turn to Acts chapter 4, and before we read, I want to tell you the background of this story. This is after Pentecost, after Peter preached and 3,000 came to know Jesus. And Peter and John were walking to the synagogue to pray and to preach and to win more souls for Christ. And so they were on their way there. They met this guy that was a beggar who didn't have legs. He was on the ground begging, just asking for what is called alms. They were begging. He's like, hey, can y'all give me money? And they're like, hey, why don't we give you something better? And they said, why don't we give you Jesus? In the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. And his legs were healed. And so he got up for joy, and he's just running and screaming. And the Pharisees kind of didn't like that because they thought they killed Jesus. But the thing is, you can't kill God. And so he's living and he's breathing. And so they didn't like that. My dad tells this corny joke every time. And every time I hear this story, I have to say it just so y'all can experience in what I had to go through in life. And my dad tells this story about how the guy was asking for alms, but they gave him legs. Get it? Like, I know some of you are like, oh, gosh. Like, that's my life. My dad and Jeff Hatcher would be best friends with their jokes. Like, they, oh, God, it's those jokes where you're just like, oh, that was, oh, just stop. But, so that's my joke for the story. If we can turn to chapter 4, verse 1, it says, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. That's part of Jewish tradition. Verse 4, but many who heard the message believed. So the number of the men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Now, these are the same people that put Jesus on trial. They met together, and they're now standing before Peter and John. Verse 6, Ananias, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, that's C person, John, Alexander, and others in the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. That this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Then they saw the courage, some versions say boldness, of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, kind of like me, and they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could not see the man who had been healed, that's probably not an appropriate word from here. There was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. The Sadducees said, what are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. We cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in that name. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. Verse 20, and I want us to just focus on this. As for us, we cannot help but speaking. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you just be in this place, God. Lord, I ask that I just step out of the way and that you take control, Lord. I ask that you just use me as a vessel. Lord, let your spirit just flow out in this place, Lord. Soften our hearts, Lord. May we find favor in you today, Lord. May our ears just find favor in what is said today, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so as I said earlier, Jeff asked me last week, he's like, hey, can you preach on Sunday? Because he's not going to be here. And I was like, sure, I guess, you know, he's my boss, can't really say no. And so I asked him, I was like, well, what do you want to preach about? And he's like, well, hey, you posted in the college group Facebook page about how you're going to talk about stories and the importance of stories within community. He's like, why don't you preach about that? And so, you know, with a peaceful spirit and a calm spirit, I was like, oh, that's okay. I think that's what God wants me to talk about. And so just to give you a little background about why I talked about this in college group, I've preached, or whatever that word is, like 12 times here at Wiley, and 8 of them have been about community. And so I'm all about community. I'm all about people living together, Christians living together as one, so that the gospel may be spread, so that we may be better equipped to live in this dark age. And so I'm all about that community. And so I was looking at our group. We have a great group. We meet on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Sunday mornings. And there's a lot of community going around. But I felt like there's just something missing. There's something missing within this community. And it was like we really didn't know each other that well. We knew each other by experiencing one another on Tuesday nights in worship or in word. Or we experienced each other by playing dodgeball or watching Disney movies on Thursdays. Because that's what we do. Don't judge. And y'all laugh, but it's fun. Mulan is a good movie. And so we really didn't know each other that well. And so then I felt like God was just saying, Jordan, have them tell their story. Have them tell their story. There's so much more to them than what you see. There's so much more to them than the actions that they do. There's so much more to them. There's a past that they have. And if you truly want this community to engage and to be with one another and to just spread and grow deeper in Christ with one another, you and your community are going to have to actually know each other. You're going to have to share in your past, share your stories, share how God has moved in your life. And so we did that. I asked them how God had moved, and a couple of them answered. And then I felt really convicted by the Spirit to ask, hey, what's your favorite vacation? And some of us, you know, some said stories about how they put salt in their mouth, and they had a contest with their family who could put salt in their mouth the longest. I don't know about that one, but like she appreciated that. Some of us talked about ski slopes. Some talked about how they've gone skiing a certain amount of times, and a number slightly smaller than that, they've been carted off by ski patrol because they got hurt. And so, I don't know who that is. He must be preaching. But we shared in these stories. And it really wasn't the stories that made the difference. It was just the fact that we opened up and we had dialogue. And we were able to talk to each other. And so we knew something about one another. And through that, we just got closer and closer. And we experienced that day in and day out. I'm blessed to be their pastor. And so through all this, and it's on your sermon insert on the back side, I've learned one thing, that everybody has a story. And it should be on the screen. Everybody has a story. Everyone has a story. And some of our stories are fun. Some are not so fun. Some of us travel. Some of us do this. Some of us do that. If Jeff were here, I would tell him how much longer his story is compared to mine. Like, but we all have stories. But the thing is they're all unique. You know, some of our stories may overlap. We may have friends here today. We may have family here today. And our stories overlap. But the thing is they're not the same. You see things from a different perspective. They see things from another perspective. And so they're not the same. And so they're very unique. And you know, through that, I began to ask, well, is there power in that? Is there power in that I have my own story? Is there power in the fact that you have your own story? Is there a power in that? And so then I began to look at this book that has stories all in it. And I was asking myself, well, what are these stories? Are these powerful? And through my research and all that, I was looking up how many stories are in the Bible. And I was feeling lucky on Google and did the whole like first thing. And this website was talking about how the Bible is not full of stories because stories are fake and the Bible is not. And I just want to let you know, stories are real. They can be fake. Myths and legends aren't real. But these stories in this book are real. This teaches of a God who loves. This talks about a God who is real. You know, I recall these stories. I recall creation and how God, through the words, demonstrated his power by just speaking things into being. And creation, just how so purposeful it was. How he created the heavens and the earth, and he separated the sky from the water, and how he created the land, and then the animals, and then the trees and everything. And then how he created us. All other creation was good. But when he created us, he said it was very good. And then I recall the Exodus and how just his people, these Israelites, were in captivity, and how he freed them and how he took them away and led them to the promised land eventually. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Elijah with a J, and he's pretty cool. I like him a lot. And or this favorite story of Elijah of mine is how he and the prophets of Baal competed in 1 Kings 18 and goes on into 19 about how they were commanded by this guy named Ahab to create these altars and to sacrifice a bull and to have their God destroy, you know, consume the bull and consume the altar. And the prophets of Baal were sitting there doing their dance. I don't know what that looks like, so I'm not going to try it. But they were cutting themselves. They were screaming, you know, Baal, come consume this. Show your power. Come here. And Baal didn't show up. And then Elijah was just making fun of them. Like, hey, did your God go on vacation? Is he not here? Like, is he on Facebook? Like, what is he doing? And well, then Elijah said, you know what? It's my turn. And so then he commanded that the bull be put on the altar, that a trench be dug around the altar, and that the bull be cast upon the altar. Then he got four large jars and filled them full of water and said, hey, pour those on the bull. And then after you get done pouring them, fill them up, pour them again. And then after you do that, do it another time. And so three times he had four large jugs full of water poured on these bulls, this bull and this altar, and it filled up the trench that he dug around as well. And then he said, oh God, demonstrate your power. Prove your faithfulness. Prove that you exist. And then God came down and just this fire consumed the altar, consumed the bull, consumed the wood, and licked up all the water in the trench. And immediately people began to bow down and praise God, for he is real and he's living. And then after that, like, I don't know why he did it, but Elijah then pulled out his sword and killed all 480 or 450 of the Baal prophets. I don't know how, like, I don't know why that's in there, but he did it. And then after that, this lady named Jezebel got mad, sent a messenger, said, hey, I want to do to you as you did to them. And then he took off and ran in the mountains, and we'll talk about that in just a second. And so all these stories of David and Samuel and Samson and all these biblical stories, they weren't written down at first. They were told precisely as stories. And so it's in your insert. These Old Testament stories were passed down generation to generation through a thing known as oral tradition. And so that's how they were. They were stories. And these stories have a message. As I said in creation, God created everything with a purpose. He created everything for a reason. And it was created in a purposeful order. You look at the Exodus, how God didn't forget his people, proved his faithfulness, heard their cries. Did you know when you hurt and when you're in pain and when you think no one's listening, my God is listening? He hears your hurt. He hears your pain. And he wants you to just give it to him. And so we see that through the Exodus. You know, we see that through Elijah. And finally, we see this love of God through Jesus, who came from being God, being lifted on high, being above all because everything was created in him. So he was above everything. He came down to be the lowly, to take upon our sin and die upon our cross. I recently heard in a lyric song that I recently downloaded that Jesus, our hero, is the only story. It's the only story where you will hear a hero that dies for the villain. Praise God that he died for me and you. While we were yet still enemies, he still loved us. Praise God for that. And so these biblical stories, it's the next thing you're going to insert, these biblical stories tell of God's character and they tell of God's faithfulness. That's what these things are all about. And so then you got to ask yourself the question, with that said, how does my story, how does our story, Billy, how does your story fit within these biblical stories? Tim, how does your story fit? How does Jordan Payne's story fit within the Bible? And so clarify a little bit. What I mean by our story is, it's in the next thing, our personal story is the story of how Christ moves and interacts in our lives in spite of us. And so it just how he moves, even though I may be messing everything up, God still moves in me. And people are affected because of Christ in me and Christ in you. And so he moves, interact. That's our story. It could be the story of how you came to Jesus or how you know Jesus. Some of us may not have a story in here. And if you want to talk about that, like let's talk. Get after service. It's okay. I want to talk to you about that. And some of our stories can just be amazing, how we're missionaries. And some stories are just about how we made a difference in our home, because we need that. As a youth pastor, I just see how a broken home can affect the life of a student in such a way that they will never be the same, they will not be normal, and they themselves will become like their parents and be broken people and not love their children but be consumed with themselves and how they feel. We need love in the home. We need Christ in the home. We need Jesus in the home. Last Wednesday, our Wednesday night groups with youth, we've been talking about why Jesus. Why do we serve him? And so it's a biblical study by a video series by David Nasser. And he talks about why Jesus did this. He's actually in Israel and it's filmed on location and there's all these like cool things. And he's actually on the Sea of Galilee. And he talked about how this is the spot where it is believed that Jesus, you know, got the 7-foot waves to calm down. And this is the spot where he's believed to walk on water. And his argument in saying, you know, you should believe this, he's like, you should believe this because it really happened. And it was like, it's just kind of like, that's weak. You know, like, I don't know. And so Jared asked the kids how they liked it. And the kids, you know, like expecting Jared to be just in love with this, they're like, oh, it's the best. That was a great story. Thank you. That was such a good, you know, they're all like happy about it. Then Jared goes, you know, I really didn't like that. I really didn't like that. You know, like, that just, I mean, you expect a 35-year-old person to just read that and be like, oh, it happened. You know, that's real. You know, we're kind of skeptical in our nature. And Jared is like, but, you know, I do believe Jesus works miracles. And so he told a story about how he had, like, these wisdom teeth that were coming in. He had two in the bottom that were coming in normally. And he had two in the top that were coming in weird and not right. By the way he put it, like, one of his wisdom teeth was coming in behind his nose and the other one behind his ear. Like, it was kind of weird, but he was saying it was not right. And he's going to have expensive surgery that he couldn't pay for. And so what he did is he had the church that he was going to at the time pray for him. And they prayed and they said, in Jesus' name, you know, heal him, do what you will, God, in Jesus' name. And Jared went back to the dentist, and the dentist was taking an x-ray and be like, oh, can't wait to get all those teeth out, all four of them. And Jared, you know, replied, well, my church group prayed over him. And the doctor's like, well, okay. All right, you know, then didn't really believe him. Took the x-rays, apparently took a long time taking the x-rays, came back and compared the two x-rays, the one before the prayer and the one after the prayer. And the one before had four teeth in his mouth, apparently, or on his face, apparently. But then the other one had two teeth that were there, the two bottom ones. You know, Jared experienced a miracle in the name of Jesus that these teeth were gone, that this painful thing was gone, that God is a miracle in Jared's eyes. And that's amazing, because that is a miracle. And Jared said, you know, I believe that miracle because I saw it happen You know, I'm not just sitting here saying like, oh, it happened because it really did. You know, I believe it. You know, he's saying that I experienced it and it really happened. It truly happened. And so then he goes back into saying that you know, these stories, that the story of Jesus walking on water, the story of Jesus healing a blind man, the story of Jesus healing lepers doesn't really mean a thing unless you have your own encounter with him. Unless you have your own encounter. These are just stories until you have your own encounter. And so then biblical stories have no value or importance until we have our own personal stories. And for me, going back to the story of Elijah, I can't fully understand that story until I myself have an encounter with the one who created these stories, the one who is in control. You know, in the story of Elijah, the reason why I like it so much is because I feel like Elijah, not that I kill people, but the fact that when adversity comes and people speak ill of me, I tend to run and hide because of my own personal insecurity and my own problems with my own self-esteem. And like Elijah, you know, he experienced this great miracle of God. He experienced God just proving himself. And all these people were in support of him. And he apparently the ones that weren't in support were dead. But like, after that, despite the fact that God, the creator of all things, was with him, he got scared when one person spoke ill, and he took off and he ran to the mountains. And in the mountains, he was waiting on the Lord to pass by. And as it says, there's a great wind that just ripped the face of the mountain apart, and God was not in that. There was a great fire, I believe, that came and just consumed the mountain, but God wasn't in that. And the great earthquake, and God wasn't in that as well. But God was in this still, small, quiet whisper saying, Elijah. Elijah. And that speaks to me so much because of my own insecurities. I experience on Wednesday nights youth that are punks but that want to worship Jesus. Youth that are so consumed with themselves when they walk in, but when they get the chance to just see the King of Glory, they worship him. Worship on Wednesday nights is amazing. It's absolutely ridiculous. I've never experienced it with kids before like this, with young people like this. It's amazing to see how college students can go out and give everything they have, even though it's not much. They can give what they have for other people. That's a miracle. And so I experience these miracles day in and day out. But if one person says something ill about me, what do? I run and I hide. And because of my own, I guess, insecurities, my lack of self-confidence, but I hide like Elijah. I run in terror and fear because of one person. There could be 4,000 people that say, Jordan, good job. But one person says something ill, I'm wrecked. I'm over. And the thing is the reason this speaks to me is because God comes as a small, still whisper. He doesn't come, you know, in this big thing. He didn't come through this just massive, giant movement. But he comes in a small, still whisper saying, Jordan, why are you here? I'm with you. You've experienced all this power and this might, and yet you still run and hide. Jordan, go and spread forth the word. And to me, that's amazing how that does that. And so then the question comes up, well, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? I have my own personal story. I see how it relates to the Bible. What now? If you look at Acts 4, verse 20, it says, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. As Christians, as it says in Matthew 28, that we're called to go forth into all nations, preaching and proclaiming and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That we are called to go out and tell people about Jesus. And Philippians 1:12, Paul talks about how he told his story, and these imperial guards and these prisoners with him in prison all came to know Jesus. He was telling the Philippian church a story about how he told his story and people came to know Jesus. And so you see all these examples. I really wish the Bible had like a verse that said like, go telleth your story to all the nations. You know, like, it doesn't really say that. I'll talk to Zondervan, see if we can like Book of Opinions up in there, and I can just throw that in there. But there's not a clear, concrete verse that just says, go tell your story. Go tell how Jesus has affected you. But with that said, despite the fact that it says, or doesn't say, go tell your story, I've learned a couple of things about this gospel that I preach, this gospel that I try to live by. The first thing is, it's on your sheet, The gospel is not individualistic. It's for God so loved the world, he came and he died and he gave his son. For God so loved us, for God so loved everybody. The Christian life is not meant. Christ's movement in our life is not meant just for me. Christ's movement in your life is not meant just for you. Yes, our relationship with God is to be very personal, but in no way is it to be private. In no way is it to be private where I just share with myself what God has done to me and I just hold it with myself and don't tell anybody about it. That's so selfish. Jeff, at McMurray's Chapel on Tuesday, he was talking about how he just feels like he should spread the word, and he said this thing, and it's profound, that everybody deserves a chance to hear about the gospel. Everybody deserves a chance to hear about Jesus. Everybody. Do y'all agree with that? Everybody deserves a chance to hear about Jesus. And I want to add a little tag to that. And everybody deserves to hear how Jesus has made a difference in your life. Everybody deserves that chance. Just as they deserve to hear Jesus, they deserve to hear how Jesus has moved. The second thing, Christians are to share in rich fellowship. After Peter preached and the 3,000 came in Acts 2, it talked about how the Christians, the followers, the people that said, I am one with Christ and Christ is in me, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the word, to what God had done, the stories of the apostles and how God had fed 5,000 men, which actually can be translated into 15,000 people. How God walked on water and this and that, and they shared these stories, and so they shared in these teachings. They also shared in fellowship with one another. And then they also shared in the breaking of bread and in celebrating the life that was given so that we might be raised from the dead and have our own life in him. And they also shared in prayer. And I just want to focus on fellowship. Fellowship is extremely important. We are to devote ourselves to one another. And it's not just on Sunday mornings. Jeff said this, and I believe it with my entire heart. Church is not now. Church is when you get out the doors. Church is when you go home, go to work, when you talk to your kids. Church is when you engage in other people. That's church. That's what you're supposed to do. Go forth and preach the gospel. And we're called to devote ourselves to one another. The next thing, do not be ashamed of your story. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Don't be ashamed of what God's done in your life. You know, I wish people experience this joy that I experience, this joy of God coming down and just experiencing this presence within my soul. That said, Jordan, despite the fact that you were nothing, that you were just garbage, that you were just a pile of waste on the ground, you were nothing. Despite that, despite seeing that, I saw you and I loved you. And I loved you so much that I put potential in you that I might raise you up from the dead. I might give you life so that you might be a light in the world, that you might be the salt and the difference maker in this world. I can't help but tell people about that because, I mean, I don't know how to describe that. Whenever I was nothing, Christ saw something and he loved me. So who am I to take that off and be like, oh, that's nothing? Who am I to do that? I am not ashamed of the gospel. I want Jesus to exude from every aspect of my life. I want Jesus to be at the forefront of my life. I want him to be heard above all else. I want people to be like, I see Jesus and not Jordan Payne. I want that in my life. Why? Because I have a story and I've experienced his movement in my life. I can't help but speak about it. I can't. And the thing is a lot of us think, well, he's moved in my life, but my story's not that eventful. I wasn't a missionary. I wasn't this. I didn't have cancer and he healed me. My story's bland. Let me tell you, the greatest story of all is the fact that a sinner can come to a God and become a saint. That is an amazing story, and you should not be ashamed of that. There is no greater story than God coming down and showing us love, even though we didn't deserve it. There's no greater story than that. So don't think that your story's bland or stupid. I used to think that, you know, I was a preacher's kid and I was supposed to do good. And so when I felt called the Lord, I was like, well, you know, preacher's kids should do that. And then I began to look at preacher's kids. And, like, by the sound of the laugh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, it's amazing. You know, it's not because I'm cool or I'm whatever. It's because God is great. It's not anything to do with me. It's because of Him. And know that your story is good enough. The next thing, if you look in Acts 4:8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. The next thing is your spirit. The Spirit must be your guide in telling your story. You don't need to go out there and be like, ha, my name's, you know, such and such. I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? You know, it's just, that doesn't really work that well. Actually, I've experienced a guy who had been freed from the addiction of pornography. Goes up to a girl, and his intention was awesome. Just his, like, follow-through wasn't. He's like, hi, I'm addicted. I used to be addicted to pornography. What's your name? You know, like, he just, I was like, ah, like, come on, man. Like, let's gingerly walk into this. And well, he didn't. But it's so important that the Spirit gives us wisdom. It's so important that the Spirit imparts in us guidance and teaches us when we should say things and when not to say things. If you look at Peter, I mean, the Spirit filled him and made him look like this scholar who knew so much, and his boldness was because the Spirit filled him. And that is an amazing thing. It teaches us how to tell our story. The telling and sharing of our stories is how we celebrate Jesus. It's how we celebrate the message of the gospel. If I truly love Jesus, I'm going to tell you how He's made a difference in my life. You know, it's like this house that we're building for Russell. We're not building it because we love Russell. We're building it because we love Christ. And so if we love Christ, we will love Russell. It's through that love of Christ, through actual love, that we are able to do it. And so in the end, I'm wrapping this up. In the end, my story is the only thing that I truly have to offer you. You know, nothing else is going to transcend the barrier between life and death. My story is the only thing that I can give you. I can tell you how Jesus has made a difference in my life, how my Jesus has loved me. I can tell you that because that's the only thing I truly have to tell you that means anything. You know, I cannot tangibly show you Jesus. I can't pull like pocket Jesus out and be like, here's Jesus. But I can tell you how He moved. I can tell you what He's done. And I can tell you that I'm secure in my faith, that I know that one day, even though I may die or will die, that I'll be with Him for all eternity. And so the only thing we can tell Him is how He saved us. That's all we have to offer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, I ask that your message in your heart just be here, Lord. Lord, I ask that just above all else that you be exalted, Lord. I ask that you just fill us with your Spirit so that we may be bold and be courageous and go forth and tell our stories. Tell them of what He's done. Lord, I just pray that despite all the goofiness, Lord, that just above all else, Lord, that we just see love. That we see you for you, Lord, and we just see how love compels us to go forth into love. And to just reciprocate what has been given to us, God. Lord, let your Spirit fall in this place and in our hearts. We love you so much. And Lord, if we don't love you, Lord, change our hearts, soften our hearts. Lord, let us love you. Let us realize that is the only source that we can be complete. You are the only source of completion. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I invite you, if you want to come to the altar and pray, you want to talk to me, talk to whoever. If you want to share your story with somebody, tell somebody how God's made a difference in your life. Right now is a pretty good opportunity. If you want to share your story and sing and worship, do that. But let the Spirit guide you. And will you all please stand and sing with us.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a taste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit. perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, great from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. Savior, all that they are. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, all that they are. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior.
Take your flame, ignite the world, tell them about Jesus, and tell them about the difference he's made. God bless.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory needs.